If I was you, I'd be asking for a refund. Everything they do for DOC, they need to defund. Lazy guards, double cells, everything in here is hell. You ever been to the county jail, praying that you get some mail? Then you hit receiving all the stories, can't believe them. I thank God that I'm alive, I thank God that I'm still breathing. After COVID, wearing masks, everyone's sad. How did a virus know a budget? It really makes me laugh. We had good times, bad times, but still it made us strong. It was hard to be accountable, I had to right my wrongs. But now I'm long, and forgotten, they forgot about me.
Welcome to another compelling episode of the Defund DOC Podcast, your number one community to hear true prison stories, conniving prison politics, and radical prison reform solutions that will end recidivist crime in America once and for all. Please welcome the hosts, Daniel and Linda Sims, as they dive into another hard-hitting and thought-provoking episode.
Welcome to the Defund DOC Podcast. I'm Linda, and with me is Daniel J. Sims.
Welcome, community. Exciting new episode. Today, we got second time appearing guest, Philip A. Jones. He's an author, nonprofit founder, LLC owner, and has a podcast, The Wall Behind and Beyond. And Jessica San Luis, a nonprofit founder and paralegal, is on the call as well. So this is an exciting topic that we're going to be speaking on today in regards to Securus and these technologies that they're using to extract money from our families and our friends, and just kind of touch base on that. But I'll give you guys the floor and just welcome to the Defund DOC Podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for having us. I'm Jessica San Luis. I do a lot of this prison litigation work. And Philip, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Yeah, this is Philip, as you introduced. Thank you for having us. This is a great topic, and I'm glad that you invited us on to discuss it, because it's very necessary that people understand the position that we are in, as well as our families who are stakeholders and customers who are not being treated well when it comes to the service that they saw supposed to provide to us.
Yeah, absolutely. That's 100%. The way that they get away with using these inadequate products to extract all this money from us, when in reality, it's actually an illegal practice from a monopolistic point of view. In the real world, this is actually a crime, what they're doing, and inflicting a captive consumer onto an uncompetitive market, which is Securus, and we can't go nowhere else. We're literally captive to this one vendor. That's about as blatant of a monopoly as you can get.
That is absolutely correct. And because Securus and DOC are servicing vulnerable communities, they're absolutely aware of the fact that their monopoly isn't going to be challenged by anyone. The issue that my litigation team is focusing on right now is consumer protection and consumer rights. Because as customers of Securus, we, the family members, have signed a customer agreement, a user agreement. But the way that Securus and DOC have their contract written, incarcerated folks are also signing customer use agreements, which makes them customers and consumers under every single state Consumers Protection Act. The state's laws vary, but Securus is violating consumer protection laws in all 50 states.
And can you elaborate a little bit more on what you're alleging they're violating in the Consumer Protection Act?
Absolutely. So one of the biggest ones, which you touched on, is price gouging. So in every state, there is a vehicle to file a lawsuit against a telecommunications company for price gouging. And a good example of price gouging where the federal court came down on the side of consumers was the way that online and box store businesses jacked up their prices on things like toilet paper and masks during COVID. During an emergency, businesses cannot do that. And so what we are saying is that because incarcerated individuals and by default their family members are vulnerable consumers, because we do not have another option. When your cell phone isn't working or you don't have good service, you can go down to the AT&T store and get AT&T, or you can go get Verizon, or you can get a prepaid phone. We have no other option. And so for that reason, in my mind and the mind of our litigation team, these consumers, particularly the incarcerated individuals who sign contracts, are vulnerable consumers. And they are gouging prices because they know that we have no other recourse. So that's that piece of the litigation.
Yeah, it's so wrong the way that they're getting away with that.
Mm-hmm.
They literally charge us for emails. They charge us for phone calls. This is the thing. We're not opposed to paying for services, but give us the proportionate service that the people in the community you get. Why are we charged for emails? You know what I mean? That should be something that, you know, facilitates familial connections. They're gouging us for every way that they can get us.
That's right. And part of the problem is that when Securus signs contracts with these correctional facilities, the agreement between Securus and the correctional agencies actually can and do include revenue sharing agreements, which we can call kickbacks. And that incentivizes the facilities to award contracts to vendors who offer higher commissions. So you know how out here, I buy a movie off of Amazon Prime and it's $3.99. You guys purchase movies from Securus, and it's 3 and 4 times that. And it's not because the media content is more expensive. It's because it's written into Securus's contract and DOC all these extra costs, like facility maintenance and Wi-Fi upgrades. And they're allowed to do it under that umbrella, but what they're not allowed to do is take that money and give some of it back to DOC. DOC is making money on these exorbitant media prices, and that's why they continue to allow Securus to do it.
That's awesome. That's literally one of the issues I wanted to raise. Yes or no, Jessica, is that actually a crime to do kickbacks in the normal society in regards to awarding contracts, whether that's with a corporation like Apple or if you're a politician? Is that a legal practice to create a kickback scheme?
Yes and no. It's not a criminal act under state penal code. It is a violation of various civil codes, including the consumer protection laws, potentially FCC violations, which is also something we're looking at. So what they are doing... They kind of can do it, but not in the way that they're doing it and to the extent.
Yeah, exactly. We've all heard of cases where politicians have been arrested for contracting with certain vendors and then receiving a kickback. So that's why we're like, it seems shady. They're awarding this contract to Securus because Securus is giving them a big slice of the pie on the back end.
It's absolutely foul, but it's not technically criminally liable. So when you see those politicians who are getting these kickbacks, those kickbacks aren't written into any contract. Securus and DOC try to legitimize this by putting it in their contract. At some point, I believe that that will come back to bite them in the ass, but it hasn't happened yet.
I think that's something that definitely will, because I just don't see how they're able to get away with that. Matter of fact, I just saw Tim Lang on TVW today. He's the Secretary of the Department of Corrections, and he said on TVW that they got $12 million sitting in a bank account right now that are all kickback from Securus.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, it just boggles my mind. They have no problem talking about getting kickback from extracting money from our families and our friends that are already in poverty to begin with.
Right, and that is one of the reasons why these companies and these agencies get away with it. Because unfortunately, as we have all experienced, inmates as litigants are not terribly sympathetic to the general public, which is horrible, but they also just have no connection to people who are incarcerated. So Securus and DOC know that the general public are not going to take up arms over exorbitant fees for incarcerated loved ones. But that's why we have to go through via consumer complaints and then join it into a federal class action lawsuit, which is the plan.
Yeah, absolutely. You're doing good work. It should be applauded from all people in society, regardless of your prejudice. I mean, the thing is that we are all one people. When you have actual statistics and data and evidence proving that strong family ties, networks, communities actually reduces recidivism and increases public safety, why would you create all these artificial barriers, for instance, exorbitant fees, all these little ways that they extract money? Those are burdensome to people that are in poverty or are in middle class even. You know, unless you're rich, how do you spend a large amount of money on phone calls, emails, and video visits and movies? And it's just unreasonable, you know?
And there's two reasons for that. One reason is that DOC and Securus know that people who are impoverished and who don't have experience with the court system are far less likely to even understand their right, let alone pursue litigation. The second part is with the recidivism piece, and I want to let Philip speak to this a little bit because this is his wheelhouse. They don't want any of you to rehabilitate, because when you get out and you stay out, they lose money. This is a money, every single DOC agency is a money-making facility, and every single incarcerated individual who releases and is successful takes money out of their pocket. And Philip can give you the facts on how much money they actually earned.
Yeah, and Philip, speak to it, but I 100% agree. That's why it's about defunding DOC, because the whole structure, they're stealing the labor of our people to subsidize this stuff through slavery and then extracting all the money on every level of it. They're making money on every level.
Mm-hmm. is a for-profit industry.
Yeah, it's sad. Philip, what do you think about Securus actually creating hurdles and barriers to strong family ties and the tie-in for reentry? What would you say? I know you wrote a book on that, so I would like to let you speak on that.
Yeah, I agree with everything what you guys said. Before I go there, I wanted to say that the problem with this price-fixing agreement is that because everyone is lining their pockets, no one is representing our best interests, which is why our families have to band together because they are the stakeholders in this. And because they are entitled to consumer protections, they have to have a seat at the table. And before these type of decisions are made with these kickbacks and all of that, the family should be included on some level so that they can get their needs met for the money that they spend or pour into Securus Technologies. In terms of the question that you asked, I think that Securus, I think it's a convenience for them, and I think that they created it so that they could put everything in one basket and then remove their hands and say that they don't have any type of, like, we complain to them, what's the first thing they say? Oh, they say, oh, that's Securus, we have nothing to do with that. But when you sign a contract and go into business with the company, you also have liability as well. So I think that that's a bunch of garbage that they try to sell us. In terms of recidivism and reentry, the point that Jessica raised is a very good point. It's not in their best interest for everyone to go home and not come back. They're in the business of keeping people in. This is a prison industrial complex. And so for them, they will offer these services, but they're not going to ensure that these services serve you, or that these services do what they were designed to do. And so for me, I teach reentry myself because I understand the importance of people going home and being successful and not returning here as a setup. Because when you're set up to fail, of course you're going to come back. GRE and all of these programs that they have in place, the concept in itself seems to be an awesome concept. Someone's going home early. But if you're not prepared, if you don't have the resources, if you've been placed in a position where you can't get employment or you don't have mental health, you know, support, you're going to likely return to some old behaviors and end up back in here. And I say that Securus has a role to play and even have a responsibility to those people that they serve to provide more in terms of helping people and reinforcing people's support system.
That's right.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, 100%. And I think that you hit the nail on the head. It's really incumbent upon us, incarcerated community, to really speak to these things because there's really, like you said, they're lining their pockets. These people in power, you know, when they're doing the contract negotiations, the administration, they're the ones that are doing the contract awarding. They're not actually doing it from the point of view of the incarcerated communities and their families' point of view. And that's where it should be started.
That's right. And I was having a really good conversation with Linda about this morning because I pulled a bunch of public records, which I'm constantly doing. And one of the things I got was the incarcerated individual's contract with Securus. And one of the attachments is service level terms that DOC executed in their contract with Securus. And here's interesting, because for any of us that have dealt with Securus outages, this is an important read. So on page 8, of attachment B to this contract, it lays out service response times and escalations. So into the contract with DOC, Securus has written that a priority level 1 issue, which includes video visits being degraded or not working, phone service not working, or Wi-Fi being unavailable in any unit, Securus's promised response time to DOC is 2 hours, and their promised resolution time is 24 hours. We all know that's never happened, and here is why. Because for every day that Securus misses that goal for fixing the problem, they have to pay $100 per incident to DOC, and that goes up. They can, for when they are not compliant with project plans, it's $2,500 per calendar day that they fail to complete those fixes that goes directly to DOC. DOC has zero incentive to get Securus out there to fix the issues that we face because they get paid by Securus when they don't.
Wow. So in essence, they're disincentivized.
Correct.
Wow.
So
that's...
during the holiday weekend when we were all sitting here waiting for phone calls and missing video visits and not being able to talk to our loved ones, when Ron Haynes tells me that they were looking into it immediately, I don't believe that for a second. It took them 3 days to address that, which means thousands of dollars in DOC's pocket from Securus.
Yeah, 100%. And just so the audience knows, we were actually scheduling this podcast interview on that day, and then we couldn't even have the interview because of Securus's Wi-Fi and phones being down. So this is a repeat concern for the incarcerated community. Just for the audience across the country, there's a lot of people that are in different states. When we speak about Securus, I mean, you can literally take that name out and put JPay, or you can literally take that name out and put Global Tail Link, or all these myriad of different companies that are extracting money from our families and our friends. I genuinely, Jessica and Philip, want them to, like, actually have a real reputable company like you were saying earlier, T-Mobile, AT&T. Why are these companies not a part of the conversation? Like, why do we have these second, third level inadequate companies coming along and dominating the prison system's telecommunication?
It's a good question. I would have to guess at the answer because I don't know, but my guess is that prison communications is somewhat different than a normal telecommunication system because of the security measures that have to be put in because of the population that's being served. And so companies like Securus, Global Tel Link, which now actually has ceased to exist. ViaPath bought out Global Tel Link, I believe, last year. So Securus and ViaPath are the two main ones. They're all over the country, and this is their niche. They technically do it better than any other company because they have the infrastructure in place, but it is a very marginal infrastructure, and they can basically, it's fast food telecommunications. They can get by with the bare minimum for the reasons that we were just saying, because nobody's going to complain. I'll tell you this, Securus is moving to California. CDCR just signed a contract with Securus because GTL dropped out when they got bought out by ViaPath. Securus is going to be all over the country very shortly. And everybody that has to deal with Securus in their home state should look into suing Securus under the Consumer Protection Act of their state.
Absolutely. And I really do encourage people to do so because it's just going to make our community better. I mean, it strengthens our ties with our families. And Linda actually was really, really shocked when you told her that information that you were explaining about the Wi-Fi. She led with that earlier when I called. Linda, how do you feel about that? They're essentially getting paid when the Wi-Fi goes down and Securus doesn't come over and fix it.
And it goes down so often. And the length of time, I mean, there's been days where we aren't able to communicate at all. And I've had many people talk to me and make comments about how they feel like DOC has a role in why it goes down or when it goes down. And after hearing all of that, I kind of wonder if DOC doesn't promptly report these outages.
You had mentioned that to me, Linda, and I think you're right. I think there is some nexus between, particularly when services go down over a long weekend or an event weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that there is some collusion there. I don't know how to weed that out, but I do think that that's correct.
It seems like almost every holiday weekend it's down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why would it go down on a Friday most every time? Like, so obviously there's going to be 2 days on a weekend. Like, it just seems real fishy. Like, why? You know, why is Friday? When the Securus people come in all during the week, all of a sudden it goes down on Friday. Like, why?
Right.
You know?
And that is something, I mean, it could be something as simple, quote unquote, as they know that the system's going to be overloaded on holiday weekends because more people are going to be using it. And Securus knows that its system is almost non-functional. But it also could be something far more nefarious.
I'm in agreement with everything you guys said, but I just think, I believe DOC turns it off. I believe the prison that we're in turns it off. And I think that, like you said, it's a pattern. Every single time, it's on a Friday in the evening. So that tells me that there's a pattern. And why would they turn it off? It's like you guys said, they know that it's going to take the whole weekend. And not only that, whoever controls it, whoever has the lever up in the administration who can cut it off and on, sometimes I wouldn't doubt that they do it sometimes because just out of spite. You know, like a lot of times they complain about Securus. They say, oh, this system doesn't work. We're tired of dealing with this. And so you got a mixed bag. Those who are reaping rewards for it, they don't mind it staying. But those who don't have any kickback coming, like those who are officers, I believe that they can shut it off. They can click a button on the weekend when no one's around, and then the whole system shuts down, and then they pretend that they don't know what happened. If you ask me, I think that's what's going on. Otherwise, it would be across the entire state at the same time.
I agree. I belong to multiple Securus and JPEG groups on social media to actually look at just that. When it goes down in Washington, is it also down in Florida? Or is it also down in Texas? And the answer is no. And here's the thing. Securus is a telecommunications network. Everything that they do is cloud-based. It does not take waiting 3 days for a technician to come to the facility to fix a network issue. It's something that can be done remotely. So when they tell us somebody has to come out and fix it, that's not true. They can do it from a mainframe, like, network situation.
I wanted to also touch on the fact that during there are certain, like, peak hours where the Wi-Fi is, from what my estimation, that, for instance, it's usually around count time and right before lockdown or around at lockdown where the Wi-Fi rarely, like, is working at a proper rate. And I'm knowing that they know this is happening. But, yeah, there's really no recourse. Like, how do you even pursue that issue, you know?
So that one is actually an issue that I'm also looking into because, again, like I said, it could very well be an overload of the system. Everybody locks in and gets on their tablet. That makes sense. And Securus could come back with that as a marginal defense, right? Well, everybody jumped on the system at one time. But here's the thing. In every state and under the FCC, there are specific rules about connectivity and access. And if you are providing a service that people are paying for, your system has to live up to those rules. And the investigating that I've done so far has shown that Securus' system falls well below the industry standard for telecommunications.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, they know, they have noticed, I mean, through the data and through the actual, you know, application, that there's going to be times where, like, they should actually have the Wi-Fi throttled so that they know that there's going to be times where it's going to be overloaded. They should have be prepared for that so that it's ready to go. Like, if it's ready for the maximum amount of people using it at one time, then it's going to stay consistent and good when people are not using it. Why would they not create more Wi-Fi access rather than continue with what they're doing, which is inadequate access, and it goes down during those peak times?
It's all money.
Yeah.
It costs them more money to provide better service. And at this point, I was going to point out, Securus defaulted on $1.3 billion of debt last year. So Securus is hurting financially because some of that is because of what they have been doing. So there are several states, California, New York, and Connecticut are three of them, that passed legislation in the last year or two to give free phone calls from prisons and jails. California, all of the phone calls are free now. Securus is losing a ton of money on that. They were also, and I'm sure people that, well, at least the people out here that use Securus, we will have noticed that last year we stopped getting charged service fees for certain things. Like when we used to buy stamps, they would charge us a service fee. They were sued and ordered by federal court last year to stop charging those service fees, which dropped off of our account. But they never notified us of any of this. Then in New York a year and a half ago, the Brooklyn Defender's Office sued Securus for recording attorney calls, and those recordings turned up in discovery to the prosecutor's office. Securus is doing foul stuff, and they're losing money because of it, and they're passing their losses on to us as consumers.
And we're just talking about what they're doing in regards to right now and in the past. We're not even talking about the being granted the access to, you know, current technology. Like, our current tablets have no video camera or camera on them, and our families are not allowed to call into the tablets like everywhere else. So
that's right.
These are things that need to be addressed, too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask.
I think that they're limiting certain features that will better prepare us to utilize technology on the outside. Like, some of us have never even had any type of access to these type of technologies because we've been incarcerated for so long. And that's a part of our reentry as well. So if you have features on the Securus that are available in other states across the country, the risk at all, then why are you excluding us from being able to use them? I mean, they got a text app. They have incoming calls. They have most states have cameras on their tablets so that they can do their video visits and send videograms to their loved ones from their rooms or from their cells, whatever you want to call it. But these are things, and then educational opportunities. They do our e-messages and our phone calls. They can monitor them the same way. And even if they can't monitor them in real time, they still have a recording of each thing we send. So if you abuse it, then you still have the option to basically take that away from someone. So there's no excuse for them not to give us these things. I believe they just have an opposition when it comes to us being able to use things that feeling like we were getting too much too fast for their acceptance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's 100% in your situation, Washington DOC. They set the parameters for what applications are available on your tablets at any particular facility or within a particular agency. So you're right. There are all these functions on our Securus that we cannot use. You can request a call to most Washington County facilities, but you cannot do a request a call to Washington DOC. Why? What's the difference? I mean, those agencies are in the same state and they fall under the same state laws. Why does DOC think that they can eliminate those access to those applications just for state prisoners?
And what if there's an emergency? What if your family has an emergency and they want to get a hold of you, and for some reason you don't know, so you don't even check? But if they have the text app, they could immediately text you and say, hey, call, something's going on. I mean, these are the small things that they should be able to do, but they're not doing. And another thing that I wanted to say before I go is that we got to touch on a plan of action to stay with all over the country to raise awareness and also assist us so that we can hold Securus's feet to the fire. Because complaining alone is not going to resolve our issues. So we need to join class actions. We need to take our case to the FTC. We also need to discourage people from who are getting some type of benefit from Securus, and so they're trying to discourage families across the social media world not to take action. That kind of stuff right there really bothers me, because you're not in the situation and you're looking to keep people from doing something because you know that it's going to, you're probably taking away some benefits from yourself. So some of your organizations, you got to be more accountable to the people inside, especially if you say that you care about what we're going through here. So I just wanted to put that out there and tell people to, you know, stand behind us or stand beside us or get out the way. You know what I mean? Either or.
Yes, I agree with you. And it's one of the things that the team of lawyers that I'm working with, that's what we're looking into, is the plan of action. Because after our investigations, we do believe that Securus is violating consumer protection laws. And we do believe that there is a potential way to enjoin DOC or other corrections agencies in these lawsuits. Because my opinion is that DOC owes a duty of care to the people in its custody. You guys can't leave. You don't have freedom of choice. So you are wards of this agency. DOC has been notified many, many, many times of the violations that their contract with Securus is making. And they absolutely refuse to do anything about it. So in my mind, they are also equally liable.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm very grateful, and I know the whole entire inmate population that is using these defective products are grateful that there are people out there, you know, fighting. And like what we're doing right now is actually bringing attention to what's happening across this country. I mean, this is not just Washington, as you said. There's a real good chance that Securus could be in every state prison across the country, because there's only like two major companies, and Securus is one of them. But speaking to that, can you kind of like explain how Google and Apple and these other companies, Microsoft, whatnot, are being sued for, they're trying to bust the trust, you know, monopolistic behavior, but yet there's one company dominating, monopolizing as Securus is, yet they're not considered a monopoly? Like, how is that even possible?
It's a really good question. A large part of it is, unfortunately, the fact that the class of litigants, which is you guys and your family members, don't garner much sympathy from the general public or the courts. The other part of it is it's a different set of consumers, right? So look at it from a jury perspective. You go in front of a jury and you say, you know, my poor grandmother in Alabama can't get phone connectivity through AT&T and they're the only service provider in the area. People are going to be really upset about it. You go to federal court and say, my loved one who's incarcerated for a violent crime can't access media on his tablet. I don't know how many jurors are going to be that sympathetic. It honestly comes down to crunching numbers. And this, I was talking to Linda about this earlier. It infuriates me that more attorneys are not willing to take on this issue, because there are a lot of litigable issues here. But the problem is that the fan base is minimum and the financial gain is It's not there. Lawyers want to make money off of what they do. And while I understand that, when you have the ability to change circumstances for a group of people, I feel like you have a moral obligation to do it. Fuck your money. You need to get out there and do what you do to protect people who are not being protected.
So basically, it all boils down to prejudice and stigma and stereotypes, and I agree with that.
100%. I mean, there's a much bigger conversation. The justice system is fatally flawed, and that goes for civil courts as well. But that doesn't mean that we don't try. What, you know, the game plan, we need to have individual litigants in every single state that are willing to sue Securus under Consumer Protection Act. Because once that happens, the state's laws are similar when it comes to consumer protection laws. Once that happens and we can show to a federal court that we're suing the same company for the same violations and the same repeated issues, they will allow us to join in a federal class action lawsuit under diversity jurisdiction. And then we put all of those people together. And then we open it up to every single person that has had violations occur through Securus. That's a huge class of litigants.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There was something else that I was just thinking about, too. And think about when your Securus tablet breaks down. Because they won't allow us to purchase our own, they can let us wait for months to get it repaired. And sometimes they don't never fix it. So I think that they have a method to their madness. They say that they don't want us to own the tablets, because some people can't afford it. Okay, well, then why can't you give a tablet to those who can't afford it and let other people buy theirs? That's easily solved. And then that way, when your tablet breaks or you can't use it because something is not working, and you feel like you want to go and purchase another one because they're taking too long to fix it, then you can do so with that option. There's just so many things that they can do that's different. So that's a problem for me, man, in a lot of ways, man. And I think that once we really blow it out the water when we go to court or when we put this on blast, a lot of things are going to come out that we have no idea about. But I'm glad that you guys brought awareness to this with the show, and I'm glad that Jessica is working on this legally because at some point something's got to give.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer of just get your foot off our neck. Give us the same exact service and laws and protections as every American citizen gets in the real world. That's all we ask for, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just get your foot off our neck. Be fair, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're an American citizens that are incarcerated. So this is an awesome episode. Let's bring it to a close. And how can people get a hold of you guys and kind of give a shout-out to what you're working on, and let's let everyone know about those?
So I have a Facebook profile that I will take any direct messages. But I'll also provide some direct contact information to Linda that you guys can post with the show posting.
Absolutely.
I want people to contact me. This is not going to happen unless we have individuals who are willing to fight.
Absolutely.
In terms of me, you can get a hold of me by two ways. Of course, Securus. My DOC number is 881-507, Washington State. Also, I have a phone out in society. For business, my number is 509-218-2167. Feel free to reach out if you need any type of assistance, any guidance, any awareness. We can get together and we can work and collaborate. I look forward to it.
Absolutely. And thank you again for joining us and elevating our community. And we love you guys out there in Defund DLC community out there. So stay tuned for the next episode.
Start the long and forgotten to a way to keep going. About me, long and forgotten, throw away the key, gone and forgotten if I'm DOC. If I was you, I'd be asking for a refund. Everything they do for DOC, they need to defund. Lazy guards, double cells, everything in here is hell. You ever been to the county jail, praying that you get some mail? Then you hit receiving all the stories, can't believe them. I thank God that I'm alive, I thank God that I'm still breathing. After COVID, wearing masks, everyone's sad. How did a virus know a budget? It really makes me laugh. We had good times, bad times, but still it made us strong. It was hard to be accountable, I had to right my wrongs. But now I'm long and forgotten, they forgot about me.